Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today we are covering Music and People Smart for the lectionary selections for the Baptism of the Lord, Year C. In Isaiah, God sings a love song to returning exiles. Angelic beings proclaim the majesty of God in Psalm 29. Peter and John take a trip to Samaria to witness the Spirit's activity among believers there. And in Luke, Jesus is baptized. We are here to help you express the love and power of God with some illustrations and special effects.
This podcast is based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, centered on the weekly readings for the Revised Common Lectionary, we develop illustrations and special effects using various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. Over the course of 4 weeks, we will cover word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage, morethanhearing.org.
Join us as we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Then, we encourage you to try it for yourself. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
Let's get started indeed. All right. So we are here for Year C, Baptism of the Lord. We will be looking today at People Smart and Music Smart. So we're going to take a look at those first, and then we'll get into the texts. Want to remind you, of course, that since we've been doing this for more than 3 years now, you can go back and listen to our previous episode on these texts from Year C 2016.
Dang.
Yeah. So that's at our website, morethanhearing.org. You can go and look it up. You can do a search on baptism, and that'll help you find it, or on Year C, and that'll help you find it. And we'll have a link in the show notes that'll get you there, too.
Yep.
So let's take a look at People Smart to start off with. This is also called interpersonal intelligence, and in his book Multiple Intelligences in the Classroom, Dr. Thomas Armstrong writes that those who utilize PeopleSmart are those who have, quote, an ability to perceive and make distinctions in the moods, intentions, motivations, and feelings of other people. This can include sensitivity to facial expressions, voice, and gestures. The capacity for discriminating among many different kinds of interpersonal cues, and the ability to respond effectively to those cues in some pragmatic way, close quote. So some occupations that might be great for people smart folks would include counseling, politics, sales, and maybe ministry.
Which includes all of those things.
Indeed. So as you're using this for your illustrations and special effects, stories that demonstrate meaningful, subtle, humorous, or even absurd interactions between people could be used. Drama is people smart because of the interactions, the skits and dramatic readings then will fire your people smart neurons. And activities that encourage interaction with two or more people are effective methods for special effects. So low-risk interactive games, questions for small group discussions, and maybe homework projects where people are asked to team up or to intentionally engage people who are not part of your church family during the week might be good ways to do a special effect for people smart. So how about Music Smart, Molly? What you got?
Well, Music Smart, or musical intelligence, individuals who tend toward this intelligence show sensitivity to rhythm and sound. They love music, but they're also sensitive to sounds in their environments. They have a capacity to perceive, to discriminate, to transform, and to express musical forms. And this might find its expression as music aficionados, a critic, a composer, or a performer. You should have several of these in your church choir, mm-hmm. hopefully. Mm-hmm. Definitely is the aficionado and the lover of music. They don't necessarily need to be able to sing beautifully. They just need to sing joyfully.
There you go.
This intelligence includes a sensitivity to rhythm, pitch, melody, timbre, tone, color of a musical piece, or just the music of the environment. People who are music smart, they tend to study better with music in the background that engages that part of their brain that opens up other avenues. They can be taught by turning lessons into lyrics. So this is one of those opportunities where you might set a psalm to a popular song. Or if there is a particular phrase that is repeated over and over again in an Old Testament passage, you might turn that into a chorus. Or if there is a particularly vibrant or meaningful message in the epistle or the gospel lesson, you could take that and use that as a way of being repeated frequently throughout your sermon as kind of a call and response sort of way.
A refrain, as it were.
A refrain. There you go. Folks who are music smart can also be taught with rhythmic speaking, tapping out time. Tools you can include in Music Smart are musical instruments, obviously, music itself, the radio, stereo, other forms of music. This is a good opportunity if you use music intelligence to include your music director, your choir director, your organist, other musicians that regularly offer their gifts in worship. It's a team effort, so there you got a little bit of people smart there too. Ta-da!
The Old Testament lesson for year C, Baptism of the Lord, is Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. This is one of my favorite passages. So this is the Lord saying, "Hey, Jacob, that I created and formed, O Israel, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." And then discusses various situations where they might expect to be swept away and says, "No, I've got you. Don't worry about it. And I give other people as ransom for you because you are so prized. And I will gather all of your children from the north, the south, east, and west. And I will be with you. And everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." So it's a very, very reassuring piece, unless you happen to be from Ethiopia or Seba.
Right, because God's given you up.
Yeah, there's that. But otherwise, it's awesome. It's great. I love this passage. So we're going to start off with people smart for this. And I was looking at the first couple of verses. You will pass through the waters. I will be with you. The rivers will not overwhelm you. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. And I thought about having credentials that would get you through a checkpoint or a challenging situation. So I thought about the TSA pre-check program. The idea here is that you can apply and go through a process of a background check and fingerprinting and a short interview, and then you're good for 5 years to skip the security line at the airport.
Completely?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, have the option to spot check you.
Right.
You know, but the idea is that you show them your credentials and they're like, "Yeah, you're good. Go ahead."
Oh, wow. Huh.
So
there's a fee for that, I assume.
Yeah, I think, but it's not significant.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
And it's mostly just going through the process. So you get these credentials and you can pass through the waters without being overwhelmed. You can pass through the screening and not be burned. So that's what came to my mind anyway. Being called by the Lord offers stronger protection and benefits, of course, just getting through the checkpoint. But there's that. Then looking at verses 5 and 6, "Do not fear, I'm with you. I will call your offspring from the east and from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. To the south, do not withhold." So for special effect, gather your people from the four corners, as it were, literally. depending on your space, either invite some or all who are sitting in the north, in the south, in the east, and the west of your sanctuary, and call out those cardinal points, and then have those folks gather either around the communion table, if you can fit, or all the way around the sanctuary, make a circle and hold hands or something.
That would be really cool, particularly if you call your elders forward for serving communion that way.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're doing a reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So
neat. I like that.
Yeah. And you could do that maybe at the prayers or at the benediction.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, getting chills. Those are really good ideas. I like that a lot.
Yeah, cool. Or just, you know, during the sermon, but those other places give it some purpose,
mm-hmm.
other than just standing in a circle singing Kumbaya. But
hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not
as a music smart person,
right? So it's people smart for the interactions, but that also includes some eye smart for the directions in mm-hmm. space, and mm-hmm. body smart for getting people moving. But mm-hmm. It might be nice to have everybody connected.
Yeah, cool.
That way,
I like that. Well, having already referenced Music Smart, we'll head over there now. But before I begin, there are two websites that I've come across in our time of doing this podcast that I think are particularly helpful. One of them is a website called Sing for Joy. It's from St. Olaf College, and it is a collection of anthems that are prepared. I'm not sure if they're actually sung somewhere or not. But anyway, they're anthems for particular lectionary passages. So it's not necessarily something you can use in worship so much, but it might be something that would be beneficial to you if you like to hear music, and music that is geared toward the particular lectionary readings. The other website is called Singing from the Lectionary, and each passage for the day has music that congregations can sing together, either referencing old favorite hymns or new worship songs. There's a lot of Taizé offerings in these listings mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So for a Music Smart, if you're ever stuck, or if there's ever a particular passage that you think, what about that? I remember a song about that. Go to either of these two websites and look it up. We'll have links for those in the show notes over at www.morethanhearing.org. So now, Isaiah passage. David has already talked about what is in that passage, but if you look at it on the page, it's a chiasm.
I beg your pardon?
It's a chiasm. It's structured in such a way that you have a broad opening topic that is then repeated at the end. So, for example, the very first sentence, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel," and then jump down to verse 7, "everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, who I formed and made." Mm. And then sandwiched between that, you have these other verses. The second half of verse 1, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Jump down to verse 5, "Do not fear. I am with you. Mm-hmm. I will bring my offspring," on and on and on. And then in between, you have these two promises in verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire." And then verse 3, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So it's structured as a poem. And if you follow those, and I have it listed on the worksheet for Music Smart, I have it bolded and italicized, so you can see what we've got here. There's a rhythm. There's a heartbeat almost that regularly sounds in this particular passage. The punctuation that's applied by the New Revised Standard Version kind of breaks the piece into segments. And so if you look at the worksheet, download the worksheet that I have for this passage, you'll see how I arranged it with bold and italic type.
So it's kind of a A, B, C, C, B, A
yes,
structure.
It's a poem. There's some poetic structure, which is something that music smart people will connect with. And mm-hmm. if it's presented mm-hmm. as poetry, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one illustration. Another illustration, 3 years ago, I suggested the anthem "You Are Mine" by mm-hmm. David Haas as an option, and I'm going to reiterate doing that again, because the chorus in the anthem quotes verse 5, "Do not be afraid, I am with you. I have called you each by name." And then the verses in the anthem contain the images from verse 2. I have a link where you can go and find this piece if you don't have it in your choir's library. And if you do have it, I hope it's being prepared. If not, we highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. And then for special effects, have a couple of song offerings that you could use. How Firm a Foundation for the old hymn, and Fear Not, for I Have Redeemed You, which is a more modern worship song. Mm. Also, I found an essay at Word and World from 1999. It doesn't include the text from Isaiah, but it does cover an awful lot of other verses throughout the book of Isaiah that musicians have used throughout the years. It might be a good reference for future use when Isaiah pops up again. All right, let's go on. The psalm lesson for Baptism of the Lord, Year C, is Psalm 29, the entirety of the psalm. It is 11 verses, so it's a pretty quick read. But again, keeping in mind the musical rhythm and meter of music intelligence, this would be a good time to really practice presenting this psalm in a lyrical way. It begins, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength." And then it continues on throughout the rest of the psalm, talking about the voice of the Lord and what the voice of the Lord does when it rolls out over the landscape. It ends with a blessing. "May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." So since the phrase, "the voice of the Lord," is repeated so frequently in this psalm, it got me to wondering, what does the voice of the Lord sound like? And so you might play with some options. There might be a thundering, booming sound, or strong wind rushing through trees, or trumpet fanfares, brass bands, maybe choirs of angels, or the hallelujah chorus. Maybe the voice of the Lord sounds like children laughing, or people talking in a room, that low hum of noise at your fellowship hour. Or maybe it's someone saying simply thank you or I love you. So there are a lot of different ways of musically expressing the voice of the Lord, and you might even try using all of those options depending on what is being presented in the way the voice of the Lord is being mentioned in this psalm. It's most of it is the big booming stuff. Powerful, full of majesty, breaks the cedars, yeah. Flashes forth like flames of fire, which I think is the reason this is included in the baptism of the Lord, because of what John says later in Luke about mm-hmm. fire. But yeah. Anyway, jumping ahead a little bit.
And there. Also the voice of the Lord speaking from
yes,
heaven.
That too. Yeah. That too. Right. So anyway, it begins with heavenly beings being asked to say something, and so they respond with talking about what the voice of the Lord is like, and then pointing out the fact that God is sitting on the throne, and because of this strength and this power, God can give strength and peace to the people. In Hebrew, this is a special effect. In Hebrew, heavenly beings is the phrase Bene Elohim. And so it might be interesting to invite the congregation, as this psalm is being presented, to imagine the heavens are singing this psalm. This isn't necessarily a human voice that is saying these things. It's a heavenly voice that's saying it. So this might involve a little bit of eye smart because of the imagination, and self-smart because of how that would probably echo within your own person imagining the heavens saying this. It's attributed to David, but you know David was somebody who was very often in praise and worship.
That would be King David, not me.
Yeah, right. I think people know that too.
Okay, sorry. It's a trigger for me.
Yeah. Anyway, it's attributed to David, but we know from the way David has been presented in Scripture that he was somebody who was frequently in worship of God, so it's entirely possible that he may have been having an ecstatic experience as he was writing this one. So anyway, a lot of music, a lot of rhythm, a lot of opportunities for sound to happen in this one.
Well, going on to People Smart, thinking about this psalm, it demonstrates a huge amount of power coming forth through the voice of the Lord appearing. And this is going to set up something for later, but it recognizes, or it understands that storms and floods are a direct effect of the voice of the Lord. So they don't just happen. The Lord says, go be, you know, here's the wind. Whoosh.
Mm-hmm. You know? Let there be light.
Yeah. And that's not generally the way we understand cause and effect.
No.
We'll get back to that. But this powerful presence of the voice of the Lord. So for illustration, can you think of an authority figure or maybe just a friend in your own life whose bearing is such that it feels like a flood or a thunderstorm when they come into the room? Maybe a parent, a teacher, or a coach, or maybe just someone who has a usually calm demeanor that could become a tempest under the right conditions, or perhaps the wrong conditions. So sometimes this can be an endearing characteristic, especially if the person's temperament remains positive while forceful. Sometimes it could be traumatic, as with an alcoholic mood swing or someone who is abusive. So be mindful of what dynamics there are in that and try to bring it around so that we recognize, it gives you the opportunity then to explore what the Lord God's motivation is here and how this is working. And assessing another's motives is a people smart activity. Mm-hmm. So that's more an idea for an illustration than a direct illustration. You have to come up with a person in your own life who might behave that way, but invite folks to think about who that might be in their own life. Then for special effect, invite your congregation to take a few moments to converse with one another, to come up with modern images that could demonstrate the power of the voice of the Lord for an urban or suburban audience. And then after a few minutes, ask them to call out what they have come up with. The voice of the Lord, go.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay. And I got to thinking about that and how that might work, and I wondered if that would be hard.
Yeah.
Hard to do. And so this comes back to what I was saying before. It might be that because we don't think of the Lord as initiating cause and effect things like storms, that we might not be able to come up with as much in the way of modern equivalents.
Hmm.
So if it's difficult to come up with things, why would that be? You could invite people to ponder. Does it have something to do with our understanding of cause and effect? Or do we have trouble thinking of God as expressing God's power in physical manifestations?
Hmm.
And if so, then what does that mean for our faith?
We're so far on this side of the Enlightenment, we don't ascribe supernatural sources to physical phenomena.
Yeah. So getting into some self-smart there as we reflect on our
maybe
own
nature
thoughts
and nature. Logic, too.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of went in all sorts of different directions there. But they
often do.
They do. But the way that's a people smart experience is having them talk with each other about that. So that was the thought.
Right.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Let's go on. The New Testament lesson for Baptism of the Lord Year C is Acts 8, verses 14 through 17. Short little passage here, and not a lot to work with, to be honest, but this comes after the Samaritans have a conversion experience. And so the apostles in Jerusalem send Peter and John to find out what's going on. They go up and discover that they have not received the Holy Spirit up there yet and have been baptized only in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they pray for them and lay hands on them, and then the people receive the Holy Spirit at the end. So,
well, not the end, because controversial stuff. And in the commentary I read, people kind of get into fits about that.
The eternal problem of the church, who's in, who's out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably should have thought about that before I did this, because that's very people smart, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's not actually in the text that you read here, but
it's a byproduct.
Definitely a subtext. Mm. So, you could talk about that for people smart, who's in, who's out. That's definitely people smart stuff. What I came up with was a special effect, and that would be invite your members to consider things like this. Think of a specific person that you know who isn't a believer or who doesn't seem to have had an experience of the Holy Spirit, and envision that person as God might see that person. And if you need to, go back to Isaiah 43 for a little inspiration there. And then pray for that person to receive the Holy Spirit. And perhaps also pray for guidance on how you might speak with that person to share your faith and witness. And as a bonus special effect for People Smart, pair with someone else in the congregation that you didn't come with today to be prayer partners over this for the coming week, that you pray for each other's person and for each other to reach out and invite the Holy Spirit into that person's life. So it's People Smart for the relationship with the person you're imagining, People Smart for working with someone else in the congregation if you do that part. A lot of self-smart in the reflection and the prayer parts. But so that's what I came up with.
Okay, cool. Coming at it from music smart, so if the PCUSA says baptism is a visible seal or sign of an inward reality, which we trust to be true, how does that inward reality then manifest itself in the way we live? In what ways does our daily living point to this song given to us by God's Spirit? What rhythms do we have in our lives that remind us of our baptism? So that's a way of thinking of it in what, a music.
Yeah, what are you thinking about there? Can you say more about that?
We understand baptism being something that God has called us by names, sealed us as God's own forever, and so in baptism we publicly go through the ritual of asking questions of the water, of the laying on of hands, of the anointing with oil, if people do that, as a way of publicly demonstrating outwardly the inward reality that already exists, that this individual is God's and chosen by God, called by God to be God's. So if this is our inward reality, if we have been called by God, is there a way of living our lives every day or as much as possible every day, hearing God calling us, you are mine, you are mine, you are mine, you are mine. How does that song, how does that chorus, God's love song to us, as we mentioned in the introduction, how does that influence our daily living? Does that make sense? More sense? So there's kind of this sense that we always hear this song in every day.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking you meant that there are activities that we do with a rhythm in our life that would remind us, like taking a shower every day might be a rhythm of your life that could remind you of your baptism because of the water.
Well, yeah, taking a shower is a good way of being reminded, and frequently people get their best ideas when they're in the shower. I think there's something about water running down over the top of you and washing away yesterday's gunk. That kind of makes you shiny and new. So that's one way that might remind you of your baptism.
Of course, that gets into some body smart there, but
self smart.
Talking about it as a rhythm.
Well, because we have rhythmic things that happen in our days. We have a set pattern of the way our lives work out, and so maybe there's a way of including the chorus "You are mine, you are mine, you are mine" in your daily rhythm. So that might be something to suggest to your congregation to look for ways to do that, or maybe do it yourself and then offer it as an example that this is the rhythm of my day, and this is how I'm including the chorus "You are mine" as I do that. Actually wind up doing that on Sunday. Anyway, so there's an illustration with a lot of exposition. I have another illustration. In her commentary on this passage at Working Preacher, Caroline Lewis quotes Gerhard Crotel saying that this passage is breaking down barriers between Jews and Samaritans. So this makes me think of mashups. Those musical combinations of two songs into one new whole. Sometimes they work and sometimes they really don't. So when the Spirit moves in us, our songs could be mashed up with another one and another one and another one until all our songs are like one whole. And maybe like Psalm 29's heavenly being singing to God's glory.
Cool.
So if you're not familiar with what mashups are, just go search for them and you will probably be taken to YouTube and you can experience some really clever options and some things are just like, why did you bother?
Yeah. So it's taking the music from one song and the words from another, right?
And sometimes, yeah, usually it's the music from one and sometimes lyrics from two or more.
Right, right.
Anyway.
We'll see if we can find some to put in the show notes maybe.
Actually, I'm thinking of one, but it might not be appropriate.
We'll try and find some appropriate ones.
Okay. So for a special effect, in the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, whenever Andrew Lloyd Webber wanted to highlight a reference to Jesus as Messiah, he would write in a triangle for ringing a triangle. Ding-a-dee, 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 ding-a-dee. So this passage is kind of short, so ringing a bell whenever the Holy Spirit is mentioned might not work, but why not continue that on into your sermon or through the rest of your service? Anytime the Holy Spirit is mentioned, play some musical instrument. Do the triangle. Maybe have if you have handbells, bung, something like that. Be sure to use a sound that doesn't make anyone think their cell phone's ringing, though.
Let's go on.
The gospel lesson for the baptism of the Lord, year C, is Luke 3, verses 15 through 17, jumping down to 21 through 22. 15 through 17 is people coming out and questioning whether John might not be the Messiah, and John responds to them by saying, no, I'm not.
But
this is the way that the one who is coming is going to baptize you. He's going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Also mentions the winnowing fork to clear the threshing floor and gather the wheat, but the chaff will be burned in unquenchable fire. I read something just yesterday about that everybody's got chaff and everybody is grain. So we're not being divided between like the sheep and the goats here. We're being divided from the things that are our outer covering that no longer have use for us. Mm. So what's being burned with unquenchable fire are the things that prevent us from being full heads of grain, useful for the kingdom its purposes. So there.
Bit of nature smart there.
Yeah. Well, some self smart too.
Yep.
And then verses 21, 22, now when everyone was baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and praying, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended, and a voice, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. So here we come full circle back to Psalm 29 and Isaiah 43. So for illustrations, I've offered a few anthems or hymns, baptized in water when Jesus came to Jordan out of deep, unordered water. I also have a link to Carolyn Winfrey Gillette's website. She does an awful lot of hymn. Well, she does new words to old hymns. And I have two of, there are two at this particular link that we'll have at the show notes. The second hymn, the last verse in her second hymn reflects the Isaiah passage. Full circle there as well. For a special effect, at Working Preacher, Roy Harrisville in his commentary writes that the unexpected response from John, quote, lays bare the pretenses and false expectations of the people and reveals their deep-seated need for personal and inner transformation. So the people came to John asking, are you the Messiah? Expecting him to say something. And he comes up with this whole different thing about baptism with fire, which was not what anyone was expecting. So to demonstrate this, play a prelude to a familiar song or a hymn, and then before the lyrics begin, switch it to another song or hymn written in the same key with the same meter. So we're expecting one thing and we're given another.
Mm.
It's sort of like when you have a drink on your table and for some reason you have it in your head that it's iced tea. You pick it up and you sip it and it's Dr. Pepper.
So cognitive dissonance.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So give the introduction to Amazing Grace and then start playing Oh God, Our Help in Ages Past.
You're exactly. Like yeah. Anything that, yeah, it helps if they're in the same key and they're in the same sort of meter. So it just smooth. It's essentially you're doing a mashup, but it's a little different in that you're expecting one thing and boom, you're given another. Mm. So that's kind of what John has done in this passage. The people are expecting something and he says, nah, this is what's real.
Cool. That would be fun.
So what have you got for people?
Okay. I've got an illustration based on verses. Well, first I want to point out that We'd be remiss if we didn't mention the baptism by fire, which is, you know, one of the running jokes of our podcast over 3 years. But 3 years ago,
we tried to set things on fire.
We did. We have an episode that was a feedback loop episode, bonus material, and for an iSmart,
was this the one where I did the baptism by fire thing without a fire extinguisher in my church?
Yeah. Yes. So, rubbing alcohol into your baptismal font and setting it on fire. So, which you don't want to do without proper precautions, which took up most of the recording talking about the precautions. Anyway, that's fun. Have a listen or a look at that. Okay. So for this one, for PeopleSmart, in verses 15 and 16, talking about the people's expectations of John. And have you ever had to modify people's expectations of your abilities or performance? You know, I appreciate your confidence in my abilities, but I really think we should call a plumber, accountant, mechanic, messiah, what have you.
So we need a messiah to fix the kitchen sink?
Probably. Yeah. It wouldn't hurt.
Dang. It's going to take a while.
And while thinking about that, I thought about the time that I was playing, we actually both were playing intramural football.
Oh, at Princeton.
And through the season, I'd been a lineman.
Oh, yeah.
And then
you don't want to be anything other than a lineman.
No, you got to run if you're anything but a lineman.
And catch balls.
Yeah. So in one of the last games, we did this trick play where I, as the lineman, then went eligible and went out and I caught a pass in the end zone and we won the game. And so the next game, everyone wanted me to be a wide receiver. It's like, I'm not a wide receiver. I'm a lineman. No, no, you caught that pass. It's like, yeah, well, it was lucky. No, no, you're a wide receiver now. I'm not going to be good. I'm a lineman. And sure enough, it was terrible. And I didn't catch another thing and proved my point. Not intentionally, but it just worked out that way. So modifying people's expectations of yourself. And then I got to thinking.
Can that go the other direction, though? People might have expectations of you being a loser and not being up to anything, and then you prove them wrong.
Yeah, but that doesn't really illustrate what John was doing.
Oh, this is true. This is true. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, so then I got to thinking about that same sort of pattern. And so the geekiness for the day is going to Star Trek, the original series, where Dr. McCoy would often get into a situation where he had to do something that he wasn't really prepared for. And he'd say, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. I'm a doctor, not an engineer. I'm a doctor, not an escalator, which are some of the actual lines. And
an escalator?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go find that one.
And that's sort of what John is doing here. I'm a prophet, not a messiah. And so we have a...
And then did someone wearing a red shirt die?
I don't know. It doesn't say so, but yeah. So we've got a link to an article at memoryalpha.org that talks about this thing that happens. And it went from the original series into several of the spin-offs.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Yes, it did. Then for special effect... perform the passage as a reader's theater piece. Now, it's not the best one for doing that because there aren't that many speaking parts, actually. There's not much dialogue, but there are several characters. You've got John, Jesus, the people, the voice from heaven, and the narrator. So, and you need at least a few people to be the people, right? So you can... You could do this with about a half dozen folks and pull it off. Mm-hmm. And then there's also some optional special effects that you could have to.
Ooh, I like these these effects.
Yeah. So I wrote out a suggested script of how that might work. And, you know, you could do an optional sound effect when the heavens open of a thunderclap. You could have a dove on a pole or on a string on
fishing
a pole.
Line. Mm-hmm.
Something, an artificial or an origami dove floating around. Or if you have projection screens, you could have a video of a dove.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of iSmart things there.
Yeah, yeah.
You could even have music.
You could have music.
Or special effects.
Yes.
Or sound effects, yeah.
Yeah. And so we've got the script there that you can take a look at on the worksheet at the website, morethanhearing.org. So see what you think. And it's people smart because drama is people smart identifying with people's reactions.
Yep.
Well, that's our podcast for today. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea you like better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS. Or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. Help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store. And, of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production. I have no idea. Let's see.